You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome on into another edition of The Wolverine. We're on our YouTube page here as well as your podcast feed. Whether you're watching or listening, we appreciate you joining us. Clayton Safey, along with Anthony Broom, we are going to talk some Michigan football this offseason, full of events, of course, and we'll get to all of that. We'll get to Michigan basketball in a little bit as well. Anthony, I was thinking a few days ago, man, what are we going to talk about on Thursday's show on the football side of things? Obviously, a lot going on with basketball, but plenty to talk about now. A couple nights ago, comes out that Matt Weiss is on administrative leave. He's under investigation for computer access crimes. We'll talk about that in just a second. But even probably, you know, maybe not more interesting news, but kind of the headline of the day is you wake up to a Dan Wetzel report from Yahoo Sports saying, you know, kind of some things that we had heard behind the scenes as well, that Michigan's going to fight with Jim Harbaugh against the NCAA here and kind of stand up to them. But maybe even more so than we thought. Harbaugh, you know, was hit with the level one violations along with the program being hit with four level two violations for some minor recruiting stuff back in 2021. And, you know, Harbaugh's was basically for misleading the NCAA. Well, it turns out, you know, he kind of just said he didn't recall a lot of the things, which is kind of the political answer, right, that you see all the time these days. And they're trying to say that that's a lie now that he has maybe admitted some culpability in, you know, for the program in some of these events. So very, very interesting. A couple things that come to mind right away is the NCAA, you know, they better be ready for a fight because Jim Harbaugh, he likes stuff like this. You know, I'm not saying he wants to be in this position. He would much rather it be smooth sailing right now. But, you know, he's not going to back down. He has retained Tom Mars, who has done a fantastic job in a number of cases involving sports and the NCAA lately. And then another thing is, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, it's got to feel good that the contract, or not the contract stuff, but, you know, Jim Harbaugh's decision on whether to stay in college or go to the NFL is behind them, because there's a lot going on right now, and, you know, it's kind of nice to have that shored up and not have that type of uncertainty when we see uncertainty elsewhere here with this stuff. But you wake up, Anthony, to this Dan Wetzel report, and what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it just doesn't end. I mean, the drama, the drama, the sagas, it's I did a hit with the Huge Show. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was like, every time it's like if you have a cover all bingo card, everything is covered. I mean, going back to when I talked to those guys, it was going back to, you know, think the Mike Hart stuff at Indiana. Then next week, Penn State, you have tunnel stuff. And a couple weeks after, you have more tunnel stuff with Michigan State. You have the fallout from that. You have the Blake Corum injury. You have Ohio State week. You have the Mozzie Smith stuff. You have the Harbaugh saga. You've got the Fiesta Bowl. You've got Matt Weiss stuff now that we'll talk about. It's just like, can we just have a day? Like, I'm happy to have stuff that keeps us busy. And obviously, like, people call it clickbait. It's not clickbait. This is the news cycle, and this is what's going on. So as far as Jim Harbaugh and the NCAA, listen, there is, I have to figure out how to word this carefully here. If there was any sort of misleading or dishonesty with the NCAA, then yeah, that's something that you might face some actions for. But coming out of this report, it doesn't seem like the NCAA has a whole lot to suggest that Jim Harbaugh lied. And whether he did lie or misremembered or whatever you want to call it, if you don't have, that's pretty hard to prove unless you have ironclad proof and a smoking gun. So, based on what we know, Michigan is backing him on this. They do. It seemed like the talks with the NCAA were going well until this NCAA, until the report came out from Dan Wetzel. It's almost like it reminded me of from Ricky Bobby, where they're just saying, okay, we'll let this go away. All you have to do is say that you like crepes. That's it. It reminds me of that. So
great scene. I mean, unbelievable scene. Great pull.
Tremendous right scene. And Ricky Bobby says, you can go ahead and crack my arm like the Liberty Bell, because I ain't saying it. So
Frenchie.
This is all a long-winded way of saying, I think the best summation of it I saw was from Nick Baumgartner on Twitter, who said something along the lines of, it's like the Michael Scott Paper Company, where you try to close us down, we're just going to come back with something else and something else and something else. So, I mean, this narrative, now there's a narrative being pushed that there's all this corruption and Jim Harbaugh doesn't have control of his football program. I mean, it's kind of exhausting. I mean, if, like I said, if there was any sort of dishonesty or, I mean, I know the NCAA is useless, but if you tell someone from the organization to pound sand, that's not going to go over well. So, I mean, this thing isn't going away anytime soon. I mean, I think that if there is like an investigation, it will take years probably before it gets done. I mean, they have coaches on wiretaps and other scandals brazenly talking about giving recruits bags of money and things like that. It's not just, I know we've kind of spun it into the whole Burgergate thing because that's the easiest way to meme it. It's obviously a little more serious than that. Like if you're not completely upfront and forthcoming, but no pun intended. This is ultimately to me just a nothing burger. And if Jim Harbaugh serves a 1 or 2 game suspension, I think that will be probably the extent of it.
Yeah, I mean, and he may serve a 1 to 2 game suspension in like 2026 or something like that. Because, as you said, I mean, it came out, it was this year, right, that Sean Miller, it was deemed that he is going to have no official punishment from the NCAA. Now, he lost his job at Arizona after keeping it for a while amidst all that, because Arizona knows when you hire a guy like Sean Miller, you know what you're doing and you want to win and you're kind of saying, hey, do what you need to do to win. But that aside, I agree with you that it is more complicated than just a burger at the Brown Jug, which is kind of the rumor. But basically, to me, what that represents is that there were minor recruiting violations, stuff during COVID that happened that, you know, and some of it was workouts over Zoom where they were watching kids work out. There was actually one of them too with Thomas Fedone, who I believe is now at Nebraska, but was, you know, top 100 tight end. And I believe his cousin was battling leukemia, and Harbaugh got actually pretty close virtually, you know, relationship wise with, and Sharon Moore as well, with his cousin. And they were both doing planks on Zoom. There's actually a screenshot of it out there. And, you know, I don't think at that point they knew they were breaking a rule. I think there were a lot of rules back then that people didn't know exactly what you could do. But regardless, some minor stuff, and then you get the NCAA saying, oh, we're going to come after him. We got this. We think Jim Harbaugh misled us or lied or whatever. And that's kind of what the NCAA is going to do. I mean, the Michael Scott Paper Company thing, I think, is a great analogy. And Jim Harbaugh is, I mean, what a great pull by you, Anthony. He's not going to say that he loves crepes. Jim Harbaugh is not that type of guy. He's not going to give in like that, nor should he if he didn't do anything wrong.
It's important to remember, too, that this is a guy who takes, at least publicly, I think he takes offense to anyone saying that he was not truthful or that was not honest about something. So, I mean, for him, I just don't know if the NCAA is going to ever get him to cop to that, even if it happened, honestly. So it's one of those things where, again, if there's no proof of it, like, I assume there would be some kind of penalty that comes out of it, but maybe the I think Michigan can honestly probably sit back and go, the NCAA might be dissolved before this thing even gets resolved or taken care of. Obviously they have a huge leadership change coming too. I mean, from Mark Emmert to, I'm sorry, I forget the gentleman's name. I believe he's an outgoing governor of Massachusetts, I think, but politicians, a model, a beacon of efficiency if you want to get investigations wrapped up. So we'll just kind of leave that at that there. So I don't know. It's exhausting. It's all been exhausting this off season. And I ultimately don't know what becomes of it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to kind of watch that. And one of the reasons why is because you also hear that a couple things. Jim Harbaugh's coming back. We talked about that on Monday. He announced about an hour before our live show. Thank God. I was doing a radio hit about 10 minutes before the announcement came out. So everything I said was outdated almost immediately. Anyway, Jim Harbaugh's coming back. Jim Harbaugh chose to come back and pull out of the Denver Broncos job running before he has a contract wrapped up with Michigan. There's still negotiations going on there. And some of the things you hear behind the scenes is that they're kind of stalling that, or at least not going to put pen to paper officially yet until some of the hurdles are cleared with the NCAA investigation. A lot of it could have to do with optics, you know, letting the NCAA know that they are taking this quote unquote seriously, you know, that they're going to look into it. They're going to, you know, potentially self-punish if they have to, things like that. But now you're at a standstill. You know, and it's basically two fighters circling each other in the middle of the ring. Jim Harbaugh, you know, and maybe like Ward Manuel and Santa Ono and the rest of the university behind him, against the NCAA, a bunch of, this is my words, empty suits. But anyway, and you're basically at a standstill at this point. What are your thoughts? If I'm a Michigan fan, I'm not worried, because Harbaugh, you know, has said he's coming back. He's on the recruiting trail. He's doing all this stuff. He's taken his, you know, name out of NFL jobs. So you're not worried in that respect. But, you know, a lot of people were like, well, I'm not going to be convinced until Penn's put to paper. Well, we may not see that for a little bit longer. I don't know what the timeline would look at like there, but that complicates this as well and adds to your point that there's just so much going on and, you know, we can't have a day off here.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's a wide-ranging investigation that Michigan football is this corrupt, the most corrupt program in college football, which is not, we know that's not the case because we know a lot of the people that work for them and the things that go on down south aren't going up here. So for me, it's if you're Michigan and you're standing by this guy, which we believe them to be, right? That's the scuttlebutt anyways. I don't know how that really holds up a contract because, I mean, maybe the optics of getting it signed before there's a resolution aren't great, but if you have any reservations about paying him market value, then what are we even doing here? Which I'm not saying there are. I don't know how that affects the time. It may be just more of a scheduling thing. Maybe they can't get into the office to sign a contract because Jim Harbaugh's been on the recruiting trail with his staff. I know they've had Zoom meetings with the NCAA. I'm sure there have been meetings with him and Santa Ono and Ward Manuel. So maybe it's just a matter of everyone getting back in town and getting it signed. But, you know, based on what we know and based on what, you know, Chris Ballas has reported, contract is I think the money is going to be, it's going to be a raise. It probably winds up being paid the most of anyone in the Big Ten. The buyout will be larger. I don't know that it's ironclad larger, but it is at least something significant. Numbers on that, I'm not really sure. But, yeah, I don't know that this really hinders progress there other than just when do these guys actually sit down and put pen to paper, which can be also, you know, you think the fact that he's going, you know, that Harbaugh has the same representation that his brother does. And I would imagine some other, I don't know what, I believe his agent's name is Brian Harlan. Is that correct? Something along those lines. Yeah. I'm sure he has other NFL clients too. And this is a pretty busy hiring cycle for that league as well. So I think it's really just a matter of, you know, once there's this public intention to return in terms of the statement again, you know, came from Santa Ono and Harbaugh kind of doubled down on it. I don't know that there is a rush to get it done as long as there's like a handshake deal. Like, listen, this is going to get done. He's still under contract. So the clock isn't really ticking, but
yes,
still think sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and from everything we've heard, there is basically a handshake deal, maybe not on numbers officially yet finalized, but that it's going to get done and that he is going to come back. And I want to point this out before we move on. We spent the last couple of weeks, you know, parsing through statements from mostly Jim Harbaugh about even going back to early December. No man knows the future. I expect this, likely that. I plan this. Then he comes out with his definitive statement on Monday. It pretty much, now we have enough data to know when he's hedging and what that means, and when he's not hedging and what that means. So it's in terms of the no man knows the future stuff. And I do think that he's going to be here. And I do think the NFL could potentially be an option for him, but I just don't see him going through this again. But if we do have to go through it again, we just have to keep that in mind. I'm going to set a reminder in my phone that if there are hedging, you know, type of statements, then that's what, you know, it means that he's leaving the door open.
I don't know that this was necessarily in the plan today, but can we just talk what a possible NFL future? And I think with each passing year where he doesn't go back, I do think it's more likely he stays. Cause I mean, you look at all of these guys that get hired are hot shot young coordinators or hot, you know, defensive coordinators, young position coaches. The exception to that might be Sean Payton, but even he coached in the league. What was it? Just over a year ago. So, you know, I'm not Jim Harbaugh's too bright a football mind to, I think he could adapt to the NFL, but just taking the information that we have available to us. I mean, it was either he or his representation that was calling the Carolina Panthers and they weren't interested in Denver. I think there was genuine interest from Denver given the Stanford connection, but it just feels like, you know, I don't want to, it was a little bit more than just a negotiating ploy, at least my read into it. I think there's always going to kind of be that itch. Cause I mean, just even think about your own history, like other jobs you could have taken, other opportunities you could have had in not just jobs, but there's always kind of like that what if thing. But yeah, I don't want to say the window's closed, but the last couple of years, it's felt like the interest was kind of more manufactured from the Harbaugh end. And I don't mean to sound that disrespectfully, but that's how it's felt to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that the door is necessarily closed unless he wants to keep it closed. And I kind of think after this year that he's going to choose to do that. I mean, you never, again, no man knows the future, all that stuff. It does apply here really, because we're just kind of projecting out, you know, a year from now, but I tend to agree with you there. And, you know, part of, you know, the reason why I think that is because I do think there was genuine interest from the Broncos. If you remember last year, as soon as it came out and Adam Schefter reported that Jim Harbaugh is coming back to Michigan, you know, he's coming back from the Minnesota interview and all that, you within minutes had reports from Minnesota reporters basically telling the Vikings side that, oh, he didn't have an offer, you know, kind of protecting the Vikings a little bit from the messaging that they were receiving from Viking sources. But here in Denver, I mean, when he pulled out, everything you saw reported on the Denver side was that he was a top candidate. They were excited to bring him in potentially for an interview, and, you know, that it was him that kind of closed the door over them. So to me, that's important that Jim Harbaugh, and I wrote about this that night after he decided and made that announcement, is he followed his heart, you know, and that's kind of what Jim Harbaugh does. It's the same terminology he used when he came here in December of 2014. He's unpredictable. You can try to predict what he's going to do. You can be a source close to Jim Harbaugh and say that it's a done deal if he gets an offer. But guess what? He didn't even let it get to the offer phase. So, you know, that just tells you that it's a reminder that Jim Harbaugh is unique and nobody knows what he's going to do unless, you know, it's him, you know, knowing that. And even then, I think there are times when he maybe changes his mind, or, you know, you saw that maybe in 2011 with the Michigan job. So there's a lot of things there, but it's tough to kind of predict. And I think that, you know, it's unlikely that we probably go through this again.
It's important to note, no beat knows the future.
Yeah.
So just leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. As evidenced by, about 27 hours after this announcement from Santa Ono and Jim Harbaugh that he's going to remain at Michigan, we get something on Matt Weiss. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Great transition there by me. Credit to me. Lead into our ad here. Prize Picks. It is basketball season. There isn't a better way to enjoy watching your favorite team than by playing daily fantasy with our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the simplest form of real money daily fantasy sports and just pits you against the numbers. At Prize Picks, you aren't competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Whether you're a fantasy sports nut or a casual fan looking to add some excitement to the games, Prize Picks is the perfect game for you. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and many more. It's the best way to have action on the game in states like Michigan, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Georgia, and over 70% of the United States. Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada, not Ontario. You simply select 2 to 5 players and predict if they will go more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. This week, and we'll talk basketball in just a little bit, but Michigan at Maryland tonight, I'm taking a little DMV special. I'm taking Hunter Dickinson more than 16.5 points. He's had 32 and 21 in his last two meetings against Maryland, a team that didn't offer him out of high school. Now, he was good enough to get an offer from them. That's kind of a little of a chip on his shoulder for not a huge reason. It's a new coaching staff, but he's still dominated Maryland. I have Terrence Williams more than 6 points. I think he's going to maybe hit a couple shots here. He's been, you know, maybe a stock down type of guy lately, but he's coming home, another DMV guy. And then Doug McDaniel, more than 9 points. He's had 12 and 17 in his last two games. He was scoreless the game before that, but it was revealed he was in the hospital that morning before the Michigan State game. So Doug McDaniel's a stock up guy. He's on the rise right now as well. I will take those three for a DMV special.
I'm going to do a little bit of a Big Ten basketball special, but it's guys that are in the NBA. One game, which will probably be done by the time you guys even hear this, the Pistons are in Paris playing the Chicago Bulls. I have Jaden Ivey going more than 15.5 points. That game tips off at 3:10 p.m. from Paris. So, again, probably we'll hear that after the fact. And my other pick is big game tonight, Golden State Warriors against the Boston Celtics. I'm going with Jordan Poole, less than 20.5 points. Feels like every time I go more on him, whether it be on Prize Picks or elsewhere, but definitely on Prize Picks, it seems like he kind of lets me down. So I'm going the other way tonight. So Jaden Ivey, more than 15.5 points. Jordan Poole, less than 20.5 points.
Okay, there you have it. Download the Prize Picks app or visit prizepicks.com. Sign up using the code Wolverine to get an instant 100% bonus up to $100 on your first deposit. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget, that's the Prize Picks app or prizepicks.com and the code Wolverine to claim your bonus today and take the viewing of your team to the next level this season. Make sure to hit us up on social media or over on thewolverine.com as well if you got some picks. Maybe we'll take those picks with you and just like that discussion surrounding Prize Picks always. So make sure to do that. We'll get into the Matt Weiss stuff here. If you're still watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button as well. Hit that like button if you're not a fan of the NCAA. That's what we ask. So hopefully that cranks up the numbers there. We appreciate everyone for doing that. And also subscribe to our channel. Matt Weiss, as I mentioned at the top, and most people listening or watching know, Matt Weiss has been placed on administrative leave. There were unmarked police cars that pulled up to his house on January 10th. Computer access crimes is what they're investigating. Anthony, you were able to dig up a log from the University of Michigan police that you know, showed that there was a potential crime committed at Schembechler Hall on January 5th. Or that's at least when it was reported that it happened between December 21 and December 23. And that log says that it had something to do with accessing emails, you know, that he wasn't supposed to access. There are rumblings at this point on what it is. It obviously seems serious. It feels to me at this point with a gut feeling that it's unlikely Matt Weiss will be retained, but I'm willing to let this process play out. And I do want to mention as well, you know, as should happen, it's not the worst that you think of when you think of a computer crime right away. So I will say that, you know, it's definitely not that. But Anthony, this goes down and, you know, more news, obviously, for Michigan. And, you know, it's a really complicated process. I don't know the timeline here either. But you know, clearly, you know, not something you want to happen.
Yeah, I mean, just I'll just read from the crime log. There's a campus crime log. So it's important to note, this is a University of Michigan police matter. This is not a federal matter. It doesn't seem like it's a state matter, but it is a campus police
matter. It's not even an Ann Arbor police department matter either. Yeah.
And that's not to say that that can't be forwarded to, you know, some kind of, again, I don't know how this stuff works. But there are, basically, what there was a report made on January 5th from Schembechler Hall. You can go to the crime log and see the location that the report comes from. And it says, and I quote, an employee reported fraudulent activity involving someone accessing university email accounts without authorization. Upon further investigation, it was found that a crime may have been committed. This would seem to suggest, again, no one's named in this. It would seem to suggest that someone who works in Schembechler Hall reported that another person, presumably Weiss, who knows, was accessing other email accounts without their permission. Other than that, we don't have a lot of information available other than, you know, I went and looked up some Michigan legislature, and accessing any email account that is password protected without someone's consent is technically, to the letter of the law, a criminal act. We don't know what that is. Again, it's not, you know, there's a lot of speculation when a report comes out and it says computer access crimes. That could be anything from, like, it's literally, when you look at the definition of what that type of criminal designation is, that could be that's literally anything pertaining to computer access. So that's like getting past a firewall to do offshore gambling to something that could be much worse. Now, it's not the worst thing that popped in your head. I'll let your imaginations eliminate that out of that. There were some really irresponsible posts and some reckless speculation, as it tends to do, going around the message board on social media. But we don't know exactly what it is. There are whispers, there are inklings, but it is a police matter, and that stuff is typically handled internally. So again, I mean, if it is a criminal act, if a crime was committed in Schembechler Hall, it sounds like the game of Clue now. I would just expect that person won't, you know, unless there is evidence that can support they aren't guilty of it. Again, it's always innocent until proven guilty, but this doesn't feel like it will end well for him. And it feels like there probably will be an opening on Michigan staff soon. So I know there are people that have asked, you know, does it have anything? Was he sending game plans to TCU? Was he hacking into TCU? It's nothing like that. It's nothing Michigan related from what we've been able to gather. This is a Matt Weiss issue. And I think that I don't know what comes from this, but it is being taken seriously. It was whatever's being alleged was a criminal act. And I don't know that, you know, just the breadcrumbs that are out there, I don't know that Michigan will have a co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. I think that might be an opening soon. So,
yeah, and I think you bring up something that I wanted to point out as well. Just because Michigan's been in the news a lot lately doesn't mean that all these things are connected. And I've actually read some articles on this that actually, you know, try to bring up you know, NCAA recruiting violations from before Matt Weiss was even here in that. I guess you're providing context, you know, for why Michigan's been in the news a lot lately. But to me, that just seems unnecessary as well. And a lot of this stuff that you're talking about on social media, the reckless speculation, whatever, comes from the rival fan bases, the ones that, you know, feel like they're responsible to kind of weigh in on everything that goes on, even though they have their own skeletons in their own closet. So just wanted to point that out too. But you're right. Shifting to the next logical topic is kind of what's next. And a lot of that has to do with this investigation. Jim Harbaugh is very much a person who, you know, respects the legal process. He's actually been involved and advocated for different issues within that. Part of the, you know, going to Washington and doing stuff like that. So, and we've seen him back to his days at San Francisco, even with the Mozzie Smith thing, you know, talking about his respect for the process and letting it play out. at the same time, you have you know, a football program to run. Spring ball still a little while away, but it is going to be interesting to see what they do if there is an opening. A lot of people on our message board saying, well, Greg Roman got let go from the Ravens today. Bring in Greg Roman. I did look at his bio earlier. I mean, he was a quarterback's coach for a few years with the Houston Texans in the mid or early to mid 2000s, I think 02 to 05. You also have potential temporary replacements. I mean, who's going to go on the road and recruit, or, you know, who's going to take over quarterback duties if things do drag out, quarterback coach duties or all that. A name that's been thrown out to some people in conversations I've had is Kirk Campbell as an analyst, who's by all accounts done a really good job here. JJ McCarthy really likes him as well. But if you're thinking full time, you would think that Michigan would try to land, you know, the best possible candidate. That could take some time. That could, you know, take some interviews with people all across the country.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just kind of comes down to what the timeline of this is. I mean, they're not going to – Matt Weiss isn't going to lose his job if the process hasn't played itself out. Because, again, everyone gets their day to defend themselves. And but if there's any – you know, if it ever – if it becomes apparent that something actually did happen, which, again, they searched his house. I don't know what became of it. We should probably clarify that too. It's been reported there was a police presence at his house, not that the state police came and kicked the door down and took, you know, all of his computers out of the house. So,
well, yeah, in ESPN, I believe their witnesses, which were his neighbors, they did see them taking things out of the house. But as some, you know, you get a lot of different people weighing in. But then I also read as well where it's pretty commonplace for, even if the, you know, crimes were not there, which it sounds like it was at Schembechler Hall, a lot of times they will try to show up at your house early in the morning, you know, and then confiscate things that you may have been using at work, like a computer, phone, tablet, that sort of thing, because you're not ready for it. You don't have time to hide it or destroy it. You get up, they come right in, you know, that sort of thing. So,
right. Yeah. So that's important to note too. Also, not to call it out, but it was some of the language in one of the stories was odd in that they made it clear that his house was a mile away from Jim Harbaugh.
Again, I saw that too. Yeah.
Kind of linking it back to, again, whatever happens with this, it is a Matt Weiss issue. It is not a referendum on Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I guess if you want to argue that someone's character is part of the evaluation process of the job they're doing, that's your right.
And Jim knows that though too. I mean, that's you hire a lot of people. You understand what you're doing there. They're representing the university. I don't think he would take himself out of that, but to make that sort of connection is crazy.
And they've had, it's important too, that he hasn't been with the program for a week or so. At least I think it was January 10th. He was pulled off the recruiting trail. He's been on leave since then is our understanding of it. Jim Harbaugh has kind of, been back running the point on, I know it's sort of related. He's kind of been running the point. He saw Dylan Raiola this week. It seems like that he's been in contact with, he'll probably be the point man with the Jaden Davis stuff, as long as that's going on. So, he's not with the program. I've seen people say, oh, well, did Michigan put him on leave after the ESPN report? No, he's been, this predates that. So again, it's just, I feel like a broken record here. You let the process play itself out and whatever it is. I mean, I'm refraining from even, you know, some, you know, even the jokes made about it. Like someone said, oh, well, maybe the Philly special was an inside job or so. Actually, I think that may have been my joke on the message board.
I was going to say you.
I have multiple personalities, so maybe I'll blame it on them.
It was some levity in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, computer access crime is just so broad, and outside of the campus log and some of the whispers and scuttlebutt, we don't really know what happened. So it's kind of hard to surmise what happens next until it almost feels weird to even speculate about who a candidate would be because the guy is still on staff. So
for sure. We'll move on from there to some sports, Anthony. Sports. We're sports writers, finally. With Michigan basketball coming off of a nice 7-point win, 8-point win over, I believe, 7, over Northwestern on Sunday. Bounce back after a 2-game losing streak. Anthony, have you looked at the schedule and realized what we're in the midst of? It's basically the same thing as last year when they went every other, but now it's 2 wins, 2 losses, 2 wins, 2 losses. I think it's either 8 or 10 games in a row, and could be tonight if they win at Maryland. And I understand that some people will be listening to this or watching after that game. I know a good chunk will be listening or watching before, so you know we'll keep that in mind as well. But Michigan gets back on track with a win over Northwestern. This team is really unpredictable. It feels really similar to last year. If they didn't lose to Central Michigan, I feel like they'd be in almost an identical spot. It feels a little more bleak at this point. But you turn back the calendar a year, and they were going into an Illinois game with hardly anybody out with COVID. And, you know, they lost that game. They showed some fight. It ended up being kind of a turning point. But Michigan looked dead in the water at this time a year ago, too. We have to keep that in mind. So there is some life, but they're going to have to start winning some games that they're not favored in, something we said a week ago, and then they lose at Iowa and kind of blew that game and then go to overtime and lose. This is a good opportunity. Michigan's 2.5-point underdogs at Maryland. I feel like we have seen some strides with this team, recently. A lot of that, to me, has been the guard play and the shooting. They're up to 39.7% from three in Big Ten play. That's third in the league. You're seeing guys like Doug McDaniel really, you know, maybe not turn the corner, but even Juwan Howard admitted the game slowed down a little bit for him. Jet Howard, you know, continues to play fantastic on the offensive end. And then you have Kobe Bufkin, who is just really good now. Like beginning of the year, it was like, wow, he looks a lot improved. You know, this is a different Kobe Bufkin. You know, he's doing this better. He's playing defense better. He's just really good now. He's going to have his moments. He's still the youngest scholarship player on this team. But to me, the thing I've noticed recently has been the improvement from the guards.
Yeah, it's been guard improvement. And even more than just the guards, I think their freshmen are playing a lot better. I've liked what I've seen out of Doug McDaniel. I think that I put the probably overstated it a bit, saying that he was the best freshman point guard since Trey Burke. Derek Walton was pretty darn good.
Walton had a much easier situation.
He did. He was on a much better team, much better supporting cast. He was basically, just plugged into a team that was mostly back from that team that went to the national title game the year before. So, yeah, I think that Doug has made a lot of – Terrace Reed has been the one for me where – he just looked like a big body that was kind of figuring it out. And he still is that, but now he draws a ton of fouls and it seems like he's finishing a little more around the basket. And the two big lineup, I know, small sample size, it's worked for them with him and Hunter Dickinson on the floor. So I like the strides that those two guys have made. Listen, again, this will date itself because the Maryland game happened so quickly after this podcast will come out. I'll be kind of irked if they don't win this game. I know that that game on New Year's Day was one of the worst Power 5 basketball performances I've ever seen from a team in terms of Maryland's offensive woes. They only had, I think it was 18 points at the half or 13 points at the half, whatever it was. It was bad. And this is a Maryland team. You look at what they've done. They haven't won in 2023 yet. They have one win. It's over an Ohio State team. that is completely out of sorts right now. I mean, has just completely fallen off the map. So for Michigan, you look at, it seems like every time we talk about this team, we take it into these five game chunks, right? You've got Maryland on Thursday night. You have a home game on Sunday against Minnesota that there is absolutely no excuse to lose. I mean, it can only, it only really affects your resume if you lose the game. So you can't do that. Purdue after that, Penn State on the road, Northwestern on the road. This team hasn't won a true road game yet this year. This team doesn't have
Minnesota. Minnesota.
Well, okay. I said a true road game, not a road game in a mausoleum.
It's the barn, baby. Come on.
I know. That's an oversight on my part. You know, you go on KenPom, you look at their resume. They don't have what KenPom would deem a tier A victory yet. And four of their next five games are in that category. So you got to start winning some games here. I've dialed my expectations back to where, you know, I think this team kind of is what it is. And from there, you start to track the growth of guys that I think will be here next year. So it's the backcourt. I like what I've seen out of the backcourt. Terrace Reed has made strides. I just wish I love Jet Howard's offensive game, but I just wish he played a lick of defense. Was even just maybe below average defensively, this team would be in a lot better shape. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of growth to do. I still, you know, their margin of error is gone, and this, you know, win two, lose two, it's literally a doubling down of what they did last year. And at some point they kind of have to break the mold here. So this game Thursday night is huge for them. I know they're not favored. I think they'll win it. I think they'll win on Sunday, and that sets up a game. You know, they were able to be a huge resume win for them last year was that Purdue game at home when people were upset that fans stormed the floor, but still a moment regardless. So big stretch coming up here the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and speaking of the defense too, it's still been the most annoying part of this team. I mean, even in the Northwestern win, the second half of the first half, so the last 10 minutes, they allowed 31 points to a Northwestern team that I would call kind of offensively challenged a little bit. They're a great defensive team, and I thought what Michigan did on the offensive end was super impressive, but you got to play better defense. They have played better defense a lot of times, really since starting with that Maryland game. And they actually rank third right now in defensive efficiency during conference play, third in the Big Ten. So that's improvement. But as you pointed out, and I was going to bring up as well, they still haven't played like the top five teams in the Big Ten in terms of totality. You know, you look at the standings, there's a log jam there, and Michigan's at 4-2. So they're actually kind of near the top, but in terms of totality of the season, efficiency ratings, Michigan hasn't really played a lot of those teams, and you know it's going to get a little bit tougher. So they've got to lock in defensively. But final thought for me is just you win by 35 on New Year's Day at Chrysler, and you can't feel good about that. That game is basically irrelevant at this point. You're not starting out 35-0 tonight. You're starting at 0-0. You're starting against a team that wants to get some revenge on you, against a Maryland crowd that doesn't like you, especially Hunter Dickinson. And he knows that, and he thrives on that. But this will actually be Hunter's first time playing at Maryland in front of fans, I believe. So that'll be interesting because they did not play there a year ago, and it was no fans the year before that. So he's got to face them, and they get pretty crazy over there. It's the spring break capital of the world, according to John Rothstein. But you got to keep that in mind. You got to stay focused if you're Doug McDaniel, Terrence Williams, those guys going home as well in front of fans for the first time. As Phil Martelli said, you can't be playing for the, you know, your family and friends in the stands and, you know, people you may know or the people yelling at you. It's got to be the same thing, you know, for the staff and players that you came there with. So that's going to be important. But big game tonight. They're all big at this point. Sunday's big, even though, as you said, it won't do a ton for your resume, but they just need wins at this point. And to your point as well, if they go every other here, two wins, two losses, two wins, two losses, doing the math, that would put them at 17 wins going into the Big Ten tournament.
Not going to do
it. And then they'd need a few in that, you know, down in Chicago. So you're going to have to do a little bit better than this. You're going to have to steal some of those wins. And tonight's a big opportunity. So is next week against Purdue at home. So we'll kind of see what happens there. But any final thoughts before we wrap up?
The Big Ten is down this year, and that should be – that's an opportunity for them to get rolling if they can sustain something, but I don't. It's really the defensive effort. I mean, at a certain point, I think after that Central Michigan loss, I think they were at 104th nationally in defensive efficiency. And a couple games went by after the Michigan State or the Maryland, the Penn State game, the Michigan State game, they moved up to like 61st or something. And then just in the last couple of games, obviously it was an overtime game, but you give up 93 to Iowa and almost 80 to Northwestern. They're back to 84. So like that little, it just, defense is a buy-in thing. Defense and rebounding is that's the attention to detail stuff. And this team just gets too lazy with that. And that's bothersome. And that's why, even with it being a down Big Ten, I can't give them the benefit of the doubt that they will get this figured out, because I haven't seen there at no point this season have they given you a moment where you go like, you know what, maybe they've turned the corner. You get to a game like the Michigan State game and you're like, okay, winnable game. Then the offense isn't able to give you anything. And then you get to a game like Iowa and then the defense, it's just, it's again, exhausting has been the word that's been used a lot, but yeah, it's been disheartening, I think. And 17-14, if that's what their fate looks like, if that's the type of year this is going to be, I'm sorry. I mean, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable at Michigan, and it shouldn't be. And that falls on leadership.
I agree. Last thing for me as well is there are going to be the outlier games like Michigan State on the offensive end where you just couldn't hit a shot, could not hit any sort of jump shot whatsoever, and you had a ton of good looks because they were really coming after Hunter Dickinson there. You got to just be good enough defensively, because more times than not, this offense has really clicked and played well. If you look at their four worst defensive performances of the season, all four losses. There are some other ones where the defense, if you look at the numbers, was not very good, but it was just good enough to win those games. Eastern Michigan, Penn State, Northwestern, you know, those weren't great defensive performances. Kentucky, you were right there. But they were good enough because you have a good enough offense. So Saadi Washington, I know if he had any hair left, he'd be pulling it out some at times with this team on the defensive end. I see him, you know, he kind of stands up. He's watching his team on defense. They let him down a little bit, and he kind of turns around, and he's, you know, pretty upset. And I get it, because this team's been frustrating to watch on that end. But they have made some steps, and, you know, we'll kind of see how they kind of progress here. But just be good enough defensively. I know that's not what Saadi's preaching, but that's what I'm preaching. Just be good enough on defense and it'll win you some games, right? We've already seen it. So we will leave it there for today. We appreciate everybody for watching and listening on the YouTube channel, on our podcast feed as well. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up if you're not a fan of the NCAA. Hopefully we rack that thing up. Let's get to 500-600 here. And then also hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to get notifications anytime we go live or drop a new video. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the game on tonight, if you're listening before that, on Thursday, and we will see you next time.